filled with all kinds of wonderful music, and this is just the start tonight of some special time in music tonight and tomorrow. Our scripture reading from the Old Testament for this evening is found in Isaiah chapter 9 and two verses, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. An amazing, fulfilled prophecy from the Old Testament tonight. Well, because Christmas is about a child, it's always nice to have children in our midst. And tonight, I want to invite the children that are here up in front to sit with me for just a few minutes and let's talk about Christmas. Just come on and sit down right up in front, right around here, any place that you feel comfortable. Yeah. How's it going today? Yeah. I always found that the day before Christmas was the longest day of the year. Is that true? Yeah. So what's the favorite thing about Christmas Day for you? What's the most favorite thing about Christmas Day? Opening presents. Yes, why do you like to open presents? Because there's toys in there, gifts. Yeah. So if someone gives you a gift and it has your name on it, what do you do with it? Open it up. And so how do you open up a present? How do you do that? You just tear it all to pieces like that. Yeah, you take off the wrapping. Yeah. Don't you just go real slow and be careful and not tear the paper? Or you just go, oh, so, yeah. Well, yeah, no, we don't go slow, right? Oh, you'd have to be careful if something fragile was inside. That's true. Yeah, with the wrapping paper, that's right. So, where do those Christmas gifts come from? Santa brings Christmas gifts. Anybody else? Do you get gifts from? Who do you get gifts from? Family. Family and Santa. Yeah. What if there could be one really incredible gift under the tree on Christmas morning for you? Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe some year. Just the best Christmas gift ever that has your name on it. What would it be? What would you hope could come wrapped up in a robo dinosaur? Holy smokes, that would be cool. Yeah, yes. Who else? A T-Rex. All right. Well, we got the dinosaur theme going. Yeah. What else? The most special gift, Nathan, that you could think comes wrapped up in a present, has your name on it, what would it be? A vacation. This entitles you to 1 week of vacation. Where would you go? Hawaii. Okay. Yeah. It's a little warmer than here, probably. Yeah, for sure. Well, on Christmas Day, we celebrate a very special gift. That gift is, anybody know? That gift is wrapped up in the manger. Jesus, exactly. And where did that gift come from? Who gives us the gift of Jesus? God, exactly right. And why is that so special? Because, right, God loves the world. He made the world. He loves the world. And he gave us a gift on Christmas Day. And that gift is Jesus. So I hope you have amazing time tomorrow. wonderful gifts. Have fun. I have something for you. See, I brought this present with me. And so I have a few things. I have three things for you. I know. So you get one candy cane, but you have to wait for Mom and Dad to tell you you can eat it. So you can't eat it right now, okay? But wait for Mom and Dad. Woo-hoo. So there's a candy cane for everybody. And look what else is in there. A pencil. What does it say on the pencil? Who can read the pencil? Happy birthday, Jesus. Yeah. I'll take care of those in a minute. You get one of those, too. The pencil say, Happy birthday, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to eat the pencil. And if you don't like the candy cane, that's okay. You don't have to have them. But, well, we have one more gift for you. I don't know if you notice. Usually, gifts are placed where once they're wrapped up? Under the tree. Is there a Christmas tree here somewhere? Two, three.
I don't want this
to go. Okay, that's okay. So, what's under our Christmas tree?
Presents.
All kinds of presents. You know where those presents came from?
Yeah.
Somebody who cares about you a lot.
Somebody's singing.
Somebody who got a whole bunch of presents for all the kids at North Bend.
Santa Claus.
And he had a helper. His name was Mayor Sammons. Every year, the mayor of North Bend gets all kinds of presents for all the kids. And he had some left over, and he asked me if I would like to pass out some gifts on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And I said, sure. So what we have is these little cards, and on these cards, there's a number, and that will determine if you go first to go over and get a gift, or you go second, or you go third, or last, right? And it's okay. So just take one of those cards. Just take a card. Pick one, whichever one. Doesn't really matter. Pick a card, any card. Just pick a card. Pick one card. There you go. Okay. Okay. And if you turn that over, that's a six, so that'll help. So anybody get number one? Nathan's got number one. So go ahead And when you pick up your gift, pick up just one, pick whatever you want, and then you can come back here, okay? And then we'll pray together. So who's got one? Nate, let him go first. Who's got two? Who's got number two?
I got two.
You got four, seven. What number did you get?
Six.
Five. Okay, so two. You have two. So go pick out a gift, whatever gift you want. Pick out a gift from under the tree. Okay, let's see. I've got three. There goes, that's okay. There goes three and a half. Okay, who's got four? Who had four? Oh, yeah, four. No, he's perfect. Yeah, I'm okay. All right, that's good to know. I'm okay. I love it. Five.
Hey, did
you read what's that? Yeah, that's all kinds of balls. And you got a game. That's for you. That's for you. You can have that one. You picked it out. You can have it. Okay, six. Go for it. Seven. And I think that's it. Do we get everybody? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We have a better house that we don't have out of a hay barn.
Oh, that's good to know.
I did too.
The note says to hide different places every day.
He's pretty sneaky, isn't he? Yeah. So you better be good, right? Yeah,
and
okay. One more day.
And today my elf brought me a kitty
car. Aw. All right. Thanks for coming. Let's pray together, and then we can go back and sit down. Jesus, we thank you for your gift of life to us. We thank you how amazing your love is for us. We thank you for Christmas and how special it is to us. I ask that you bless all these children and their families in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you for coming up and talking with me. Oh, don't forget here. Don't forget your balls. You got it? Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, parents, for sharing your children with us. Another special. Christmas Eve. So our New Testament passage of Scripture tonight comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and verses 18 through 23. Matthew 1, 18 through 23. Thanks. Matthew 1, 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she is found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is the word of God for the people of God. So, do you set up a manger in your house? Do you have a manger set up inside, maybe even outside? When you set it up, are you prepared to answer all the questions that a four-year-old might ask? Was there snow in the manger, Mommy? Was Jesus cold? Did he have a blankie? Why are there just three wise men? And where are their horses? How come Jesus was born in a barn? And when he got older, was he able to talk to the animals? Why can't we see the star on Christmas Eve? Was it brighter than the moon? And where's the little drummer boy? So I don't know what kind of questions you might get tomorrow, but tonight we'd like to go ahead and ask some questions. We'd like to ask who and what and how and where and why and when about Christmas. And so if you get a question tomorrow, You might just be better prepared to answer it instead of having to say, well, just Google that. Let's start with the what question. What happened on Christmas? Well, what happened is this, from what we read a minute ago. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save. What happened at Christmas is Jesus is born. That's what happened. What we do know, at the heart of Christmas is a baby. A baby who was born, small town, a simple family. But what do we know about everything that's born? Human, animal. What happens to everyone who is born? They die. Before Jesus could accomplish his purpose of saving us, before he could give his life as a sacrifice for us, before he could die for our sins, he had to be born. He says that in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. And that immediately leads our thinking to the cross. He came to give his life, to give his life on the cross as a ransom for many. But before he could die, he had to be born. Christmas is that first step, that necessary first step for why Jesus appeared. He came to give his life for us, but before he could give his life, that life had to be born. If there were any other way for our souls to be saved, if there was any other way for us to be prepared for heaven, God would have made it so. But there was no other way except through the willingness of Jesus Christ to give up his life on the cross for us. So before he could die, he had to be born. That's what happened at Christmas. So we answered the what question. What happened? Let's ask the who question. Who is Christmas for? Well, again, we go back to that verse. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people. You know, we talked a little bit about it. I think the kids hinted at it a little bit, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The good news of God's love and salvation is that it's for everyone. The hard thing for me to accept as a pastor, a preacher of the gospel, is not everyone believes. Not everyone accepts that. But for the ones who do respond in faith, they receive the gift of life and they become his people. She gave birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people. He will save the people who accept him, who believe in him. Think about this tomorrow morning. If there's a present under the tree, maybe you go home tonight and you know, you see that there's a present under the tree. It's got your name on it. You see that. You've got it already picked out. What would it be like if tomorrow morning you just stayed in bed? Didn't care to really go be a part of the gift giving and the gift sharing, the gift opening. Rather just kind of ignore that, skip that part. I'm not going to open that gift. I know it's for me, but I don't even want it. I'm just going to say, no thanks. If you don't bother to get that present and unwrap it and open it up, then two things happen. You miss out on whatever that present would be for you. But the one who picked it out and bought it and wrapped it up and put it under the tree for you, that person misses out too. Because there's a blessing in the gift giving. I think it says somewhere, someplace, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so if we ignore the gift-giving aspect, we miss something that's for us, and then we deny somebody who cares about us the joy of giving. That's exactly what happens at Christmas time when people ignore the fact that this gift from God of His love is for everyone. It blesses God's heart for us to accept His gift of life, for us to accept Jesus. It blesses His heart. And of course, it does our heart good too. Luke chapter 2, the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. That's who it's for. What happened? Who's it for? Why is the third question. Why was Jesus born? She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We cannot save ourselves from our sins. Our sins of selfishness and pride and self-centeredness, those things are spiritually terminal. They're inoperable. They're incurable. They're fatal to our spiritual life. There's no cure. When it comes to helping ourselves, the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen, and we cannot help ourselves get up. We can help ourselves when it comes to most diseases. We can treat some diseases and find cures. We can treat hunger, terrorism, economics, poverty, hunger, energy. We can treat those things with some success. But there's no technology, no legislation, no military action for removing our guilt when it comes to doing something we've done wrong. There's no way we can remove the barrier of sin that exists between us and God. Perfectly obeying all the commandments doesn't cut it. Faithfully practicing religion, having a perfect attendance at church, that doesn't save us from our sins. Perfectly understanding all doctrine and always being right all the time, that doesn't save us from our sins either. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can forgive our sins. Only Jesus can reconcile us to God. Only Jesus can deliver us from evil. Only Jesus can rescue us and secure our spot in heaven. Only Jesus can do that. That's why he was born. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the fourth question is, well, how does that happen? She'll give birth to a son. You're given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. In order for Jesus to save us from our sins, here's how it happened. He had to jump into our situation and rescue us. Think about this. If someone fell into the water, someone who couldn't swim, they fell into the water and they're flailing around, and there's people on the side standing, how helpful would it be for them to open the book of how to swim and start reading the instructions to that person? Okay, step number one. Remain calm. Step number two, start to swing your arms in alternating ways like a windmill in front of you. Step number three, kick your feet, bending them alternately at the knee. And about that third step, they're probably going down for the third time. The best thing that someone could do, probably just jump in, try to help them, try to save them, try to rescue them. That's what God does. Emmanuel means God with us. He jumped in all the way from heaven, and he grabbed us and took us by the hand to lead us to eternal safety. You know, God built the universe on love, and it works best when love is at work. And for God to show us his love, he had to show up. He had to be with us, not just shout some instructions from the sidelines, but jump into our skin, become a human being, grab our hand, take us to eternal life. So, what happened? Who's it for? What's the why about Christmas? And how did it happen? How does it happen? And then another question is, when? When does Christmas happen? Well, we can turn to Luke to find some of the story that Matthew doesn't tell. Luke says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 chimes in on that today. It says, right now is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. When you think about it, God's love for us has no beginning, has no end. It's eternal. And so today is just as good a day as any for Christmas to happen. Scholars debate the exact year Jesus was born. Some say 0 AD. Some say 4 BC. It doesn't really matter. Jesus is Lord always, every day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every December 25th is just a reminder that he came to be with us, to show us how much he loves us. And when we keep love in our hearts, then every day is Christmas. I have a theory about when he was born. Jesus is light of the world, correct? Just makes sense to me if he wanted to underscore the fact that he's the light of the world, that he'd be born on the longest night of the year, when it was the darkest, the longest. And of course, for us, that's the first day of winter, the longest night of the year. There's a lot of other answers out there when Jesus was born. Probably a better answer than my theory would be that celebrating Jesus' birth on December 25th was officially set by Pope Julius I in 350 AD. And he said it that way because of three basic things. First of all, there'd been evidence since 274 AD, solid evidence, recorded evidence, that Christians were already celebrating the birth of Jesus on December the 25th. A second piece that he took into consideration were the biblical scholars that surrounded him, his trusted theologians. They realized that Jesus died on Passover, and that day was celebrated in the early centuries of Christianity on March 25th. And scholars on his day believed that Jesus died on the same day that he was conceived. So they think he was conceived on March the 25th, so 9 months later would be December the 25th. And a final thing was that the secular world had a big celebration on December 25th. They celebrated, in the Roman Empire, they celebrated the birth of the sun god on December the 25th. And Pope Julius I, along with those other pieces, thought, well, let's give our folks, let's give Christians something as an alternative to this pagan celebration. Let's give them something else to celebrate instead. And so let's set December 25th as the birth of Jesus Christ. So, given those three things, Julius I said, well, let's just make it December 25th. That makes sense. And it stuck. And it's been that way ever since. Okay, so enough boring you with history, right? So we ask, what happened at Christmas? Who is Christmas for? Why is Christmas important? How did it happen? When does it happen? And the sixth question is, where does Christmas happen? And again, we turn to Luke. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. The birthplace of Jesus is undisputed. The little town of Bethlehem, about 5 miles from Jerusalem, is the place of his birth. So the question is, if that's the answer to where, do we have to go to Bethlehem in order to celebrate Christmas? Well, no. The sign given to the shepherds about where to find him is a clue for us about where to look for Christmas. A baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. God intended for this a miraculous gift to be plain and simple, to be ordinary and accessible. Christmas happens right where you are. Jesus is available and wonderfully accessible. I was driving around looking at Christmas lights, and there were public open displays of the manger scene. But in some places, the baby Jesus was missing. He was not asleep on the hay. He was gone. Now, in some communities, Jesus is not put in the manger scene until Christmas Day. In other words, all through the Advent season leading up to Christmas, there's no baby in the manger because we're anticipating his birth. We can't wait for it. But in these manger scenes in this community, that was not the case. They had put Jesus in the manger from the day after Thanksgiving onward. The problem was, and it was happening in several communities, people were stealing the baby Jesus right off the hay. So the next year, these people in a couple of communities got the idea that we're going to place some chips in the baby Jesus so that when he is stolen, we can recover him. And that's what they did. And the next year, with chips in the baby Jesus in the manger, when he was taken, they could go right to where he was and get him back. Jesus doesn't necessarily have to remain in the manger in Bethlehem for us to celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus lives in our hearts. And wherever we go, we take Jesus with us. Where does Jesus live? He lives in our hearts. So I think my favorite Christmas hymn is Joy to the World. We'll sing that one tomorrow. But my second favorite one is the one we sang tonight, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And Phillips Brooks just captured it perfectly. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. That's where Jesus lives. That's where Christmas happens. How silently, the wondrous gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. That's where Christmas happens. So you may have some questions tomorrow. What happened at Christmas? Who is Christmas for? Why do we celebrate Christmas? How does that happen? How does God give us that amazing gift? When does it happen? Where does it happen? And the final question might be, so what? So what do we do about it? Got all our other questions answered. What do we do about it? Well, we can take our cue about what to do from the people that we read about in the scriptures. Mary and Joseph, they obeyed what God had told them. The angels, they sang glory to God. The shepherds praised God and spread the word about that baby. The wise men gave gifts and worshiped the Lord. The people in the scripture, they all responded somehow to this baby Jesus. And all that makes sense. And all that is why we're here tonight. You're here because you're responding to God's amazing gift of love in Jesus Christ. And I hope I've helped answer maybe some of the questions you might have, or at least help you better be better prepared for any question that might be asked of you in the next day or so. Or maybe what we did was just affirm once again why this time is so special to us. God's gift to us of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're here tonight because of that. Get it? Good. So I'd like to pray in response to God's word tonight, and then we're going to move into our candle lighting ceremony. So let's pray. Our loving God, Christmas brings us such joy. We pray that once again you'll fill our hearts to overflowing. Allow that joy to find its way out of our life into the lives of others. We've come here tonight to adore you, to worship you, to honor the name of Jesus. We thank you for the reminder of how precious your gift to us is. May we unwrap it, that gift of love, may we unwrap it and embrace it and allow it to embrace us. We thank you for each other tonight. It's wonderfully special to come on Christmas Eve, and the people around us are so special. We thank you for the folks that are sitting in the pews tonight. We pray for one another. Ask that tonight, tomorrow, be special family time, special time of love, special time where your grace abounds. That's our Christmas prayer on this Christmas Eve, offered in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.